Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Saturday, January the 14th. And today we're going to catch up with our good friend George Rodriguez in South Texas. George and I will be talking about the legislature. We have a legislative session in Texas, and then we'll be talking about really the topic of the day. I mean, it's the number one topic of the day, and that is, of course, the matter of documents. All of a sudden, we're talking about documents. So let me say hello to George. How are you, George? I hope everything is going well in South Texas.
Very good. It's kind of cool down here today, but it's really nice.
Yeah.
Lots of sunshine.
Yeah, it was actually the same way up here. It was a pretty day, but it was chilly in the morning, and it'll be kind of off and on. We have this, you know, we have these weeks where it drops to 36, and then sometimes it goes up to 65. I mean, I guess that's the way it is around here this time of the year. Well, let's briefly talk about the legislative session. They started in Austin, Texas. They did all of the nice things first, all the presentations, all the introductions. I think it's been so far, it's probably too early to expect anything, but so far it's been pretty quiet. I know the whole issue of property taxes is always an issue, and how to spend this gigantic surplus that we have, $20 billion or whatever it is. And I guess that's going to be one of the contested issues, George. How do you, because the governor wants to give that back to the people. And that's what he's saying. He wants to give it back to the voters. I would think, as a voter, the easiest way for them to give me that back is just to apply it to property taxes, George.
I would hope so, yeah. I mean, if you're going to give me back money, then, lower whatever I'm giving you, and then, you know, or give it back in a check,
right?
One or the other. But, the Republican Party, which dominates virtually all of the state offices, including the legislatures, has a list of priorities. I believe it's 8 priorities. And these priorities were going to be the outline for the state legislature. Well, the very first priority was one where they wanted the appointment of only Republican chairmen in committees in the House. And they lost that first one. Apparently, that's not going to happen. So I'm not sure how the rest of them are going to go, given that first one has not come through. On the other hand, there was a lot of discussion as far as how the more conservative wing of the representatives in the state were going to react to the more moderate ones. And a lot of people were thinking that we might end up in the same situation as the U.S. Congress, the U.S. House did, with the Republicans divided and having vote after vote after vote. That didn't happen. Representative Phelan was the speaker last year or last session, and he's the speaker again. Mm-hmm. So, it's off to a quiet start. Albeit not what a lot of conservatives were hoping for.
Yeah. One thing that I will say is that I guess I look at it maybe, I don't know whether this is the conservative point of view or the moderate point of view, I'm not sure. But I think whoever has the majority should run the committees. I mean, that's why people vote majorities, right? So if the Republicans have the majority in the House of Representatives or the state Senate, there should be a Republican chairman in every committee and a ranking Democrat. Sorry about that. One of the consequences of all this wind is the allergies.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But there should be a Republican Congress. Hold on for a second, George. Why don't you speak for a second?
Yes, the situation where you've got you've got Democrats being placed on committees, it originates from the fact that in order to win a House seat or a House committee chairship, the speakership, in order to win the speakership, the person has got to win a majority of the votes from both the Democrats and the Republicans. And so the speakers have always given concessions to the Democrats in some form or fashion so that they can win, right, so that they've got enough votes. And I mean, that's just politics.
Yeah, well,
so
that's
it. It makes sense, of course, that the dominant party rule. However, because of politics, that's not the case.
Well, and I'm sorry to the audience for my little allergy attack, but it happens. It's been windy today, so that's that always improves your chances of getting an allergy attack this time of the year. But I go back to my point. I mean, the voters elect a Republican majority.
Correct.
And that Republican majority gets to chair the committees. Now, you have a ranking Democrat, and you run the committee fairly so that both sides get to have witnesses, both sides get to have, you know, their presentations and all of that. You know, in other words, you don't run the committee like the January 6th committee. you run it with both sides having the opportunity of cross-examination and all of that. But there has to be a Republican chairman. I honestly don't know why that's even an issue. You say it goes back to the Civil War. Maybe that's the part of the story that I'm missing. But it just seems to me that the Republicans ought to have the majority party should have the chairman, the control of the committees, and then the minority party has the ranking member, and you know they get all the rights and privileges of, but they're the minority party. I mean, that's just the reality is.
The problem with it, for those that don't understand it fully, is that the problem is that if you've got a Democrat appointed to a committee chair, that Democrat can and will stop legislation that Republicans push through. They will stop it in the committee. So therefore, if they are chairing a committee for the judiciary and the issue of defunding the police comes up, which it has, they effectively can stop the legislation and let the cities go ahead and proceed with defunding the police without the state interfering.
Right.
So it is. I mean, it can have some bad consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think as a voter, you know, I voted for a Republican representative, a Republican state senator. You know, I think they should respect the voters. If the voters gave one party a majority, well, that party
exactly
should run the committees. I think we saw in the January 6th committee what happens when you don't give the other side what they should have.
Yeah.
When you make a committee or you design a committee for purely partisan reasons, you end up with a disaster like we saw with that January 6th committee. So not much to say this week on the state legislature, but I think I think
in the future we might have a lot to say.
Yeah, I think as the next our next chat comes along next week or so, there'll be a lot more because they're just getting into it. I mean, look,
there's some big issues regarding abortion,
yes,
regarding the border, regarding,
right,
there's you know, property taxes. There's some big, very, very,
yeah, there's some big issues that will, and they are, they will be contentious issues, I think, as we go further. Now, let's talk about the big issue that has the entire country talking.
Yeah, hang on while I away some files here.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask you if you see any files. You don't have a Corvette, do you?
No.
Okay.
I had a Mustang, but it, you know, that was, I'm not a Corvette man.
Well, I, you know, I don't have a Corvette either. So I was every time, but I will tell you this, George, I will never look at a Corvette the same way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Whenever a Corvette goes by, I'll have to remember this whole incident. But here's how. Yeah.
What are they hiding?
That's right. Yeah, you keep thinking, you know what was the name of some great songs about Corvettes? You know, let's see, Corvette. I know there's great songs about Cadillac but I need to think. I need to look up a good song for Corvettes. But I will never look at a Corvette the same way after this whole incident. Every time I see a Corvette go by, I'll have to remember this story. But all of this, George, has blown up in the faces of Attorney General Garland and I guess the Biden administration and the Democrats, because they decided to go after Trump. And I remember we talked about it back in August when I said that I thought it was so reckless and irresponsible to go after Trump the way they did, you know, with sending the FBI. I just thought that was so over the top. That there was a different way of negotiating all of that. They decided to send the FBI. They crossed the line that had never been crossed before in our politics, going after a former president. And then, I don't know, George, I don't know of a single Democrat in August when we were watching the events at Mr. Trump's home. I don't know of a single Democrat who thought that you and I would be talking about documents 5 months later, but they wouldn't be Trump's, they would be Biden's documents. So, I mean, this whole thing has blown up their face, and it's because they pushed the Trump story, and now, you know, Garland had no choice but to appoint, the Attorney General had no choice but to appoint the counsel, George.
It is. I mean, I've been looking at the newscast the past hour and a half or so. And, you know, the issue again, like you said at the very, very beginning, a lot of the Democrats are beginning to worry that this is going to turn into a Clinton email type situation where people just begin to talk about the emails and the emails and the emails. And they're also worried about how they are going to balance out this situation with the investigation. They're going to be on the hook. I mean, everything that they've done to former President Trump, they're going to have to do with Biden. I mean, they're going to have to be as hard and as harsh, especially now that the Republicans control the House. So that's a big headache. And you know, the other thing is this issue of responsibility. The president's spokesperson, Jean-Pierre, got up there yesterday and made the comment that this was a mistake. Well, you know, whose mistake was it? Was it the president's or was it the agency's? Because I mean, the Department of Archives, the U.S. Archives, that's an agency that is supposed to be on its toes to make sure these types of things happen. Like ones that happened with Trump, where all his documents were not apparently cleared and he took them, as well as with this situation with Biden when he was vice president. And then as you and I were speaking earlier, where's Obama in this whole thing? I mean, what has he said? What was his role in this whole thing that that the vice president was able to walk out with all of this? And you know, the word inadvertently, that's the word that Jean-Pierre has used, that the files were inadvertently taken. What does that mean, inadvertently?
Yes, go in front of a judge and tell him that you inadvertently robbed a bank.
Exactly.
And see where that takes you. But you made a point. I wrote a note here because when you were talking about Hillary Clinton, because I really want to get back to that point for a second. I think what we're really seeing is the confusion and the terrible consequences of what happened to Hillary Clinton. When Director Comey, if you remember, back in the summer of 2016, Director Comey went on TV or had a press conference, and he spent 20 minutes telling us about all of the things that she had violated, every single thing that she had done wrong.
And then they didn't do anything.
And they didn't do anything. And I think that that may have been...
Well, at least you knew about it.
There. Yeah. And that should have been the moment that where the example should have been set. You know, you don't, okay, if you don't want to send her to jail, okay, that's fine. Okay. But the idea that she had her own private server, had used private email, all that stuff should have been
located in a bathroom.
Yeah, that's right. All that stuff should have been punished somehow. She wasn't. So I think that was the opportunity to set the example, and they didn't. So as a consequence, you know, I can certainly understand why people are a little confused, because if she can get away with that, then, you know, what can I get away with?
Exactly.
So I think that that's part of the problem. But you mentioned the agency, George, and I think that's one issue that we have to address, because, and Congress has to address this. I look at the way this agency, now, if I remember from my history, this agency was created during the Carter administration, and it was to basically keep track of the documents.
You know, the Carter papers.
Yes. And keep track of things, which makes sense. I mean, from a big picture standpoint, it makes sense to keep track of documents. So the idea of this agency was sort of like your local library. You go to the library, you check out a book, you take it home, you forget to bring it back. They send you a letter or an email or call you on the phone and say, hey, George, you forgot to bring your book back. Oh, I'm sorry. Then you go, and sometimes you pay a little fee, sometimes you don't. But they have a record of the book. In this case, I see two entirely different applications to President Trump and to President Biden. In the case of President Trump, they obviously knew right away what documents he had taken, and they were going after him, negotiating with him to get those documents back that they thought they should have back. Now, there's an honest debate as to whether he declassified them or not, you know, that's another debate. But the bottom line is that the agency knew where the documents were. In the case of Joe Biden, this agency didn't know where those documents were. I mean, those documents were sitting in a box. Whether they were sitting there for 6 years, I don't know. Whether they were sitting in his garage, I don't know. For all those years, I don't know. But the point is that neither did the agency, George.
Yes.
And that should worry the heck out of Congress. That should worry the heck out of Congress, because who saw those documents? I mean, there are allegations, and I say allegations, that his son may have seen them. He had no business seeing them. Whether he meant to do something bad or not, he had no business seeing them. So I think the agency, George, is the one here who has to do a little
explaining. That's the first line.
Yes,
in my opinion, that is the first line for this inquest. Why didn't the agency know about it? Now, in my opinion, this agency, the archives, U.S. archives, has much of the same problems that other agencies, in fact, all of the agencies, in my opinion, in the federal government. Starting back in 1975, there was a real push, which is only accelerated, a real push for affirmative action within these agencies. These agencies, the federal government was going to be the lead in promoting people based on race, gender, and other issues. And 50 years later, especially under administrations like the Clintons, like the Obamas, and certainly under this administration, people have been hired and promoted, and I'm talking not appointees, not federal appointees. I'm talking about people that are career employees that have been promoted that, in my opinion, are very, very incompetent. You have these soft agencies that nobody really deals with, like archives, like Department of Education. These agencies that are built more for paper pushing than anything else. And I guarantee, my friends, watching them, being there, you see how incompetent people are.
Right.
And I think that this is the main thing to look at, the competency of these agencies, of this agency and others.
Yes.
Are they carrying out the mission, or are they just collecting a check?
Well, that's a very good point, because, by the way, we have a viewer from Germany. He says, Stefan, hello from Germany. So hello, Stefan. I hope you enjoy Texas politics. I hope you follow Texas politics in Germany. Maybe it's similar to politics in Germany, but it's a little different here in the United States, a little crazy right now. So I hope you guys in Europe.
I'm sure in Europe, for example, governments have great bureaucracies.
Yes,
they're very independent. And that's what
we've
got here.
Yes.
We, the people, because of our constitution and our way of thinking, we cannot have agencies that are not accountable to us. And
absolutely.
This agency needs to be very, very accountable. What were they thinking? What did they do? Why weren't they aware of the missing presidential or vice-presidential documents?
That's right. And it's important. You mentioned that we had a conversation earlier today, and we talked about where's Obama. The reason we're asking where's Obama is because these documents are his administration's documents. I mean,
yeah.
As vice president, Vice President Biden probably saw some of these documents or had access, I'm sure he did, but at the end of the day, it's Obama, President Obama, who either declassifies them or takes them home or doesn't, but he's the one. These are not, vice presidents don't have that kind of leverage over these documents. So
need to be asked.
Right. So, I mean, I would ask the agency, George, I would say, okay, guys, did you know that you obviously knew that the Trump documents were missing. You knew that because you went after Trump.
Exactly.
You were willing to go to the attorney general and try to get a subpoena. Okay. And by the way, maybe they had every right to do that. I'm not going to challenge maybe they had a right to do that. But with these documents, now we're into the third finding of documents. First, it was in the office. Then it was the garage. And now there's apparently another one in the house somewhere.
Yeah.
And, we don't know what these documents are, but why wasn't the agency on the phone with the Obama team saying, hey, guys, we're missing some documents here. I don't know who's got them, but document number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, whatever. These documents are missing, and we have to figure out who's got them. And then basically take it to the Obama staff and say, what happened? And then let Obama or his staff obviously figure out.
If the Democrats are not careful, this is going to be a replay of what happened to those emails.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, so you have a case here if you have such an incompetent agency, then the potential for politicization increases dramatically, because if the agency was very sharp, you know, like the FBI, well, the FBI before all of this, you know, you always thought of the FBI as a very professional organization without politics. I know we've had some problems recently, but I still think 90%+ of the FBI is pretty straight. But, you know, if this agency had been run correctly, this agency would have been all over the Obama team looking for these documents.
Yeah. Well, and let me add fuel to, let me throw some
gasoline
on this fire, because we're talking about this agency. It was reported yesterday that they were able to find what had happened with the FAA on Wednesday when all of the planes were grounded, when all of the planes were unable to fly because of a glitch. And that was because someone at the FAA in Washington, D.C. hit the wrong button. So that somebody, that some career employee in the government, some bureaucrat has that kind of power, should worry the public.
Yes. Well, I'm going to make a crazy prediction. Maybe not so crazy. But I'm going to say that somebody in that agency we should get fired. That's true. But somebody in that agency dropped the ball intentionally. And they said, that's Obama's papers. We're not going to worry too much about those. We trust him. And then they didn't do that with Trump. And that's, to me, that's poisonous. Because that's how you... that's not good for the country, because I think everybody, you know, I use the example of the library. You know, the library is a publicly funded organization. We all pay for it, our community taxes and so on. And you definitely want the library to be run correctly, because we're paying for this, right? So if, I think if somebody found out that the library was losing books without checking on things, I think that people would be angry with that. And so I'm hoping to wrap this one up, George. I'm hoping that as a consequence of all of this, that Congress really brings those people to a committee and really tightens the rules, because there's a breakdown in that agency, I'll tell you right now.
And let's remember that the whole civil service system, which covers and protects these career employees, was set up so that they would be independent, mm-hmm. politically independent, every time that there was a change of office. And what has happened is that more and more these agencies have allied themselves with unions, with federal employee unions that take political stances, and therefore the people are influenced by it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that many of these federal bureaucracies,
it's very frightening.
I mean, when you look at how they vote, I mean, when you look at how public sector employees vote, I mean, it's pretty overwhelming Democrat. So the people running these committees or these agencies very often are very favorable to the Democrats. And that's just not good. So I think this agency has as much to answer as everything else. But I think it's kind of ironic, George. One last thing I'll say about this, and I'd like to get your reaction. You know, it's ironic. You know, it's like the old expression, what goes around comes around.
Yes.
All of this started out to get Trump. And now we got, I mean, Biden could technically be in a worse position than Trump when it comes to the legal vulnerability, George. Yeah.
Well, of course, there's that third issue, the conspiracy theory, that this whole situation shows the incompetence of Mr. Biden, and so it'll be another problem for him, and therefore the Democrats should not support him in the next presidential election. I mean, that's a stretch, but you know, that's another issue there.
I invite everyone to check out my my American Thinker post today, Saturday morning. It says the title of my American Thinker post is Kamala Wants the Corvette. The Kamala wants to take the Corvette.
Oh, that would be scary.
But there's a lot of people who believe that he's being set up, yeah. right or wrong. But there's a lot of people who believe that he's being set up because of just the way all of this has happened. Again, you know, I'm not into conspiracy theories, but you know, sometimes conspiracy theories turn out to be true. Isn't that what we're learning about Twitter?
Oh my
I mean,
God.
Remember all the conspiracy theories, and we were being hounded because we were promoting conspiracy theories. Well, every conspiracy theory about Twitter has turned out to be true. So you don't know about these. One last thing here, George. This is, of course, an important football weekend. The Cowboys are playing Monday night. Big game for the Cowboys because, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but they can win this game. They can win the game. I believe they have the talent to win this game. But if they don't, that is really, I mean, I've been listening to talk radio here, sports talk radio, and that could be the end of Dak as a Cowboy, and certainly his time as a quarterback, because fair or unfair, the quarterback, just remember Danny White. Remember Danny White?
Yeah.
How they took it out on him. So I'm hoping the Cowboys will win, but if they don't, this is going to be bad. And here's one for the memories, George, one that I'm sure will bring back some memories to, you know, baby boomers like you and me. 1973, Super Bowl VII. Wow. The Dolphins beat the Redskins, all right, 14-7. The Dolphins were perfect that year. They won every season game, and then they won three playoff games. So the perfect Dolphins What a great story that was.
Who was the quarterback for the Dolphins?
Greasy. Yeah, Bob Greasy. That's right. He was their quarterback. Remember Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield were some of their players.
He had been a Redskin, and then he recruited him.
But what a great team that was. Don Shula was the head coach. What a great team that was.
And it really, you know, what I really liked about it was that happened only 7 years after the merger of the AFL and NFL. And there had always been the talk about how long would it take for the AFL
right.
to reach parity with the NFL. And there you had it.
There you have it. No question about it. But they had a great team, and it was a great season. And it's hard to think that anybody would do that again for the simple reason that they play 17 games now.
Yeah.
You got to win 17 games, and that's just that's a lot. George, have a great weekend. Go Cowboys. Where is it? On this side? Can you see it now? Okay, I'm pointing to the right one. Yeah. I've got my Cowboys star here rooting for a victory. And I've got all my candles lit somewhere. That's what Catholics do. You know, they light candles. I've got all my candles lit that the next time you and I chat, the Cowboys are playing in the second round. Probably going to be playing San Francisco because of the other game today.
San Francisco looked very good today. They looked very good.
They look very sharp, yeah. Thank you. You have a great weekend, George. And as always, thank you for your time and for joining us. It's always a lot of fun, George.
Thank you very much.
All right. Our good friend, George Rodriguez, joining us from South Texas. We were going to do a review of the Texas legislature, but not too much happening with the Texas legislature. So we switched a little bit to the other big topic of the moment, of course, the whole question of documents. This is crazy what's happening with the documents. But it's the old expression, you know, what goes around comes around. The reason that the Attorney General had to name a special counsel is because they did it with Trump. So they had to. So it's fascinating how these things go around and come around and so on. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. The next time we'll see you with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, when we do our weekend review. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about this story of the documents. Thank you for listening. And this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.